one thing in common with a lot of the strategies is the use of emotions to influence voters. A lot of the strategies manipulate people, manipulate their fear or their anger, usually to strengthen a weak campaign. Welcome to The Shrinks on Third, our psychology and social justice podcast. I'm psychologist Cindy Ariel.
And I'm psychologist Julie Mayer. Join us.
You know, Julie, the more people vote, the better democracy works.
That's actually true, Cindy. There's a whole field of political psychology and lots of research into what helps and what hurts voter turnout and what impacts voter decisions.
True. A lot of things affect voting, including demographics like our gender, our age, our race and ethnicity, and our level of education.
Yeah, for example, priorities are different for different age groups. That makes total sense. Older people might be worried about Medicare and Social Security, retirement, whereas younger people might be more focused on things like student debt or interest rate in the off chance they can buy a house.
Way off chance, but yes. Our emotions and our relationships with other people also affect our voting.
Yeah, a lot of people are motivated to vote by a strong sense of obligation, their civic duty. They see voting as a responsibility to take part in the democratic process and make their voice count in improving our communities and our country.
Apparently, most Americans feel this way. But the number or the percentage of people who actually turn out in any given election also depends on a bunch of other things.
Right. According to election researchers, voting is pro-social. So things that encourage pro-social behavior should also encourage voting. That makes me think about in Georgia when they were handing out bottles of water for the people waiting on the very long lines to vote, and it made the Republican Party angry.
Right.
Anyway, but these would be things like concern for other people wanting to contribute to the greater good.
Offering them some water, you know. Specifically, research suggests emotions like gratitude for voting increases voter turnout.
Yeah. In one study, people who received postcards thanking them for voting in a recent election were more likely to vote than those who just got a postcard reminding them to vote. And even more likely, 2 to 3% more than those who got no postcard at all.
So 2 to 3% seems like a small number. It's only a couple of percentage points. But in a close election, that could make the difference.
Yeah, it could. So the theory is that making people feel good about voting increases their likelihood of voting again.
Right. Going door to door to get out the vote also increases voting by up to 8 to 10 percentage points. But that is a very labor-intensive process.
It definitely is. But it works so well because people like being part of the community, and feelings of belonging impact whether or not people vote.
Yeah, I think the people going door to door feel more part of the community than the people whose door you're knocking on.
But sometimes they knock on a door and they have a whole conversation and it's meaningful for both people.
That is true. That's why it's done, right? So
yeah,
voting also gives people a sense of empowerment when they believe their vote really can influence change.
That's a good feeling, like kind of like the opposite of helplessness.
Yes, a lot of people feel this kind of mini little bit of power after every time they vote. That feeling makes them want to vote again, to exercise their right and to feel that little mini bit of power.
Of course, guilt, shame, and social pressure can also increase voting, but it's better to influence people in positive ways because guilting and shaming them has negative effects ultimately.
Yeah. As psychologists, we must say that, and it's true. And we also can't ignore how much peers, different campaign techniques, and social media influence people and the ways they vote. These things have big impacts on people's perceptions of voting and elections, on the specific candidates and their issues and agendas.
Yeah, that's a little scary. One study found that people will vote more in an election when they see that people they know, and especially if those that they're close to, are also voting.
According to the Pew Research Center, 68% of American adults get a lot of their information from social media. Of course, we know this. The media, including social media, has a major role in educating people about all this stuff.
It's true. It can change people's minds about a candidate or their intended policies in huge ways. But unfortunately, it often is a source of bias, false information, and even fake news.
Yeah. All of that, along with compelling campaign strategies, can strongly influence voter opinions and decisions. And of course, that's their goal. And they have lots of ways to make it happen.
Yes. And like the Russians, they like to participate in it. This is why candidates and parties actually spend huge amounts of money on advertising strategies. In fact, money for top campaign strategists and strategies is absolutely critical for winning elections these days, often more than absolutely anything else.
Again, the money. One thing in common with a lot of the strategies is the use of emotions to influence voters. A lot of the strategies manipulate people, manipulate their fear or their anger, usually to strengthen a weak campaign.
Yeah, that's true, Cindy. Anxiety, fear, anger. These are some of the most common emotional influences that impact voting. Hope and pride are up there too, but anxiety, fear, and anger affect people in a bigger way.
Worrying about unwanted or even feared election results motivates people to vote because it's one thing they can do to push back at a potentially negative outcome.
Yeah, in our two-party system, where we're pretty much assured that the winner's going to either be a Democrat or a Republican, the fear that the other one, the worst one, will end up winning encourages a lot of people to vote for the candidate that they see as the lesser of two evils frequently.
Yes, they're not exactly voting for someone as much as they're voting against the other one.
Yeah, and that's not so great. I mean, most of us want to be part of creating positive change. But that looks different depending on who we are and what we're hoping for.
True, Julie. People support alternative politicians or parties because they want change and they're angry or unhappy with current leadership or programs.
Yeah. And then, of course, there are the voters who are so focused on one topic that they become single issue voters. They only consider one major issue and the rest doesn't kind of matter that much to them.
A good example of that is abortion rights. It's a popular single-issue vote situation. Some people won't vote for a pro-choice candidate, no matter what their other policies might be.
Yeah, sometimes to a very ridiculous extreme, because this is the most important thing in the world to them. Like nothing, absolutely nothing else even matters.
How could there ever be a candidate with whom you're going to agree 100% of what they believe? There's nobody you agree with 100% of the time.
No, not even your spouse or your best friends.
That would be weird.
It would. It would be like your clones. So, you know, even your closest friends are likely to agree on lots of things, even most things, but definitely not 100% of things. So in general, a good candidate has a way of thinking or a basic set of values or worldview that you can get on board with.
For this reason, a lot of people stick with party loyalty. You might not agree 100% with everything the party does, but in general, people stick with their party a lot.
What doesn't make sense sometimes is sticking with the party no matter what, just like sticking to a single issue no matter what. It's not logical.
No, there are lots of people who would never, ever vote for a Democrat or never, ever vote for a Republican, even if they disagreed with everything their party's candidate believed or stood for.
Yeah, it seems like an identity issue for some people. And to a certain degree, we do expect each party to be kind of consistent with what it stands for, even though I think the Republican Party has changed a lot lately.
That's right. We've seen that especially with today's Republican Party. This can change considerably, and some people still cling on. Party loyalty shapes who and what a lot of people vote for.
And some people actually don't spend time learning too deeply. They let the party figure it out and they trust the party's decision. It's actually a thing, and political scientists call it rational ignorance.
Which doesn't sound all that rational, but okay.
Not flattering either.
No, people who go this route are more vulnerable to questionable politics and also to fake news and misinformation.
Yeah, education as a demographic factor influences voters in this way. More educated voters are likely to want politicians to show competence and knowledge and to have a good grasp of policy issues.
And educated people also educate themselves at least a little bit on some policy issues.
Exactly.
So all of these things will impact voter turnout in the upcoming election of 2024.
Even though most Americans feel that voting is important, there are large numbers of people who don't bother to turn out to vote, even in presidential elections, which are usually seen as the most pressing ones for people to cast a vote.
A lot of people right now are expressing their doubts about both of the front runners and are feeling less inspired than they were when they turned out in record numbers 4 years ago.
In the 2020 election, a record-breaking number of people voted, which still only amounted to about two-thirds of registered voters in the whole country. In some elections, like midterm elections, way more people don't bother to go out to vote.
Well, people need to know that their vote will matter, and they need to feel inspired, or they'll be less inclined to vote in the upcoming election.
Unfortunately, the polling is clear on how much people are feeling torn about the current process, the current choices, and the impact the election will have on the future of our democracy.
Yeah, you know, our nation has become more diverse, making it more important to take a broader view on what's important to a wider range of people. The average American needs to know that there's hope for their family and their jobs and for their future.
If we can be convinced of that by a major candidate, people would be happy to vote for the common good and a positive future.
The thing is, you sort of vote no matter what you do. If you stay home and don't vote, or if you vote for a third party candidate, you're letting a decision be made that you really might not like.
And when people think it's really just as bad either way, then it truly doesn't matter to them which one wins.
That's right. For some people, it is that bad either way. But if you think there's even a slight edge one way or the other, it's important to get out there and let that be known. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this, how you feel about the upcoming election, and what's your plan. And speaking of gratitude, have we told you lately we're thankful for you?
We truly are. We can't see you because we're audio only, but we really do appreciate you and your interest in what we think are important issues. Thanks for listening.
You can find us at shrinksonthird.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Shrinks on Third. Till next time,
take care.